Father, whew, Lord, man, sometimes when I don't think you're there, I just need to turn my eyes and look another direction, because you're not always where I'm looking, but you're exactly where you need to be, and so I need to correct myself and move to where you are, and not stand and wait for you to come to me. And so, God, that's what we ask. We ask that maybe there's some of us that are standing right next to you. We feel we are in step with you. God, we are close and we are connected, but some of us feel like, man, we're looking around and trying to find out where you're at because you were right next to us or we were right next to you, but now we're not. And so, God, wherever we're at, would you be the God that meets both of us in both places, that you are right next to us, but you're also at a place where we can go and find you. You're not hiding. You're in plain sight. So, God, be in plain sight. Send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears, to see, to hear, where you're calling us to go, to move, and to be. We ask this in your name. Amen. Hey, so we're talking this morning about the core essentials of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you consider yourself a follower. Maybe you're here for the first time, and you're just checking this Jesus guy out, or you've been checking for a while, and you don't know if you really believe he is who he says he is. And so we hope today that we'll give you a clue in on who this Jesus is and that we are all in this together. That's what I love about discipleship, is that when we talk about this, I'm in the same place as you. The stuff that we're going to talk about, I'm dealing with my own junk in it, you know? And so we're coming together, we do this together, and what we're doing here is I'm looking at scriptures, seeing what God's word said, working on my own heart, and then asking us to partner together. There'll be places where we're different in both places, but one of the things that I love about discipleship is that it's something that we all can get on board. We're already on the train. We're all on the train together. Nobody's left off. Jesus says if you have you've received the grace, if you've given your life, if you surrendered it to Jesus, discipleship has started in your life. He calls it good work. So we're all there. So we're all on board. We're all on the same train. Let's go together. All right? So let's get into the text. So this is coming from Philippians. I love if you would, there's a Bible in front of you. If you don't have your own, what I think is the great thing is this is called the Living Word. And Jesus says when you put your face in it, it doesn't return void. He's going to do something with it. So that's why I like it. And also I want you to be in it because guess what? I'm not the final word on this thing. So we need each other. So get in it. We're going to be in Philippians 1. Verse 3 through 11, I'm going to reading out of the NIV. NLT, so I'll be a little bit different. For me, the NLT is a little bit more readable. Philippians 1, 3 through 11. So pull up your phone, the one in front of you, and let's dig in. It says, every time I think about you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you. And I make my requests with a full heart of joy because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time that you first heard about it until now. And I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue that work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. And see, it is right that I should feel the way I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. And we have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out, defending the truth and telling others about the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with tender compassion of Christ. So I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand this, what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to Jesus. So what we're talking about is discipleship. What does it look to be transformed as a disciple of Jesus Christ? One who has received grace, that has given our lives over to Christ, and now the process of what we call discipleship starts. And Paul describes it as good work. So I want you to hear that. Some of you might be thinking, like, I've shown up today, and I don't know if the work inside of me is good. I want you to hear this. Hear this. If this is what you hear, God has good work started, continuing, and finishing in you. Okay? God has good work that he has started, that he is continuing to do, and that he will finish. All right? And so here's this. So discipleship really is that, is the good work that God is doing in you. And what it means is kind of like looking in the mirror. So you look in the mirror, you look at yourself, and then you look at Jesus, then you look at yourself, then you look at Jesus, and you say, who am I and where is Jesus? Where do I need to go to grow, to look like him, to talk like him, and to live like him? That's discipleship. It's a standing where you're at, and that's okay, wherever you're at, looking at the mirror and looking at Jesus and saying on a scale of 1 to 100, whether I'm 2, 8, 28, and 88, I'm somewhere. And there's a place that I need to go to look like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. That is discipleship. It's us as servants looking like the teacher, us becoming like the teacher, both in action and in words and in deeds. And so that's it. So we're good. And the good work that he's doing in you, this is what I love, is it's not just one like homogenous thing. It's that Jesus has created us all unique and individual, all of us. And the good work that he is doing in you is for you, designed specifically the way you were made. So it's your job not to participate in discipleship like I do, but like you do. And then it's my job to encourage you to be discipled in the way that God has made you to be. All right? So one of the things that I love that happens is sometimes in our culture, and for me as a millennial, culture happens a lot on social media. Facebook did this interesting thing, maybe you're on it, maybe you're not, of they've called it a 10-year Facebook challenge. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take a picture about 10 years ago and then put it side by side with a picture of you currently and to see what you look like in 10 years. I don't know, some of y'all right now are like, oh, Lord Jesus, amen, hallelujah. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, I look good. Like, right? You're like, man, 10 years has been good to me. And some of you are like, oh, man, I'd like to have it back. So I didn't do it online. I like to participate a little bit, but not always. But I'm going to participate this morning. So I'm going to put up a little 10-year picture. See, your pastor is a normal person. On the left, the left is 2008 in the spring. Ashley and I had just gotten married. We were downtown. It was raining. That's why you see little sprinkles on. I have a really baby face. That's why our youth tell me not to shave. Some of them are taking pictures right now to blast me on Facebook and social media. That's cool. I'm normal. So that's me, 2008. We've just been married. I look really young. Sometimes I'm like, oh, man, to be young again. But at the same time, I look at the picture on the right. That was taken last summer at Josh and Sarah Collins' wedding. It was just a beautiful time. And sometimes I look at that picture, and I'm just like, well, first of all, I look at the woman next to me. I'm like, dang. Some of y'all can relate with me when you marry up. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. So I did that. She's beautiful and wonderful, and it's always good to be in a picture with someone that makes you look better. But that picture has a lot. Those two pictures, and you're like, why the heck is he sharing that just to like be funny? But there's a lot that's going on in there. There's a lot that has changed physically in me that you can see. But what you don't see is the things inside that have caused me to become who you see in the right picture. Like, I had just gotten married in 2007, and then in 2018, I'm marrying people. Like, God has done something in me to call me, to qualify me, and to train me to tell other people what to do in their marriage. Like, it's crazy, right? I mean, like, Lord, come into my marriage, and we might be like, Alex is like, we're going to reconsider this, right? But that's what happens, is sometimes we, in discipleship, we see a lot on the outside that has changed over a certain period of time. But what that does, when I look at the right one, and why it gets all like sentimental inside of me, is because a lot has changed on the inside that none of y'all see. Like in that picture, Ashley is pregnant with our son, Stephen. And in that moment, like I had not yet realized physically what it would like to have a son, but I was anticipating and waiting, right? In the 10-year span, I had gone from being married to being a father, but before that, being fatherless. To now having three children of my own, to loving where I live, to being called at my first call, to graduating seminary, to becoming here, A lot has happened inside of me that has formed me that comes out, but you don't always see what's going on inside. And literally, that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is a both and, not an either or. Sometimes we think either or in our, you can either be of this party or this party. You can do this lifestyle or this, either this or that. But Jesus always in the gospel flips it. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And so as we address discipleship, I hope you don't see it as an either or in the two things that we're talking about, but a both and. It's a stretching in both and. And so we talk about that, is that discipleship is a both doing and a becoming. We saw that in that scripture today. That as Paul is describing to the church of Philippi, he's saying that discipleship is a both doing and a becoming. Not either or, but a both and. So we're going to dig into that. What does it mean to be a both and a disciple, to be a both doer of the word and a becomer of the word? And so if you're like me, it starts out like this. In verse 10 is where we get it. This is his prayer, that Paul's prayer says this: I pray that your love will overflow. That your love will overflow. That Paul's saying, I hope that the love that you receive is, you don't do this. You don't get a mason jar or a bucket or whatever you got. Fill it with love, and then when it gets to the max capacity, you go and you get a bigger bucket. Jesus says, that's not love. That's not what love is. Not love. Love is not just filling your bucket up and up and then getting a bigger one to receive more love. Paul is saying that love, the definition of love in agreeing with Jesus, is something that does, that overflows. That whatever size mason jar Jesus gives you, it fills up and then it flows over. And it doesn't flow over nice. It like flows over everywhere. Think of like Brian Wiley's basement. It doesn't just go in one place. It goes everywhere. I love you, Brian Wiley. it happened to me too. We're in the same, we can reminisce. But here's the thing, love isn't pretty. It's beautiful and it goes everywhere. And that when people like get near you and as you're overflowing everywhere, you get people wet. You like me, you maybe like spit on them, you maybe just rinse them, like super soak or whatever. You soak people with love by what you do. Paul's saying it overflows, that you can't control it, and that the people around you get touched, get influenced, impacted by the love that you do. And I love this. This is me. This is why I'm like mission trips. This is like why I'm like going to THP. This is why I love Chick. I love doing things. I love so much so that youth, when we do that New Year's Eve party and y'all all go home, I love cleaning up. That's fine with me because I'm serving Jesus. I love these things. It's what gets me. It's my jam. I love doing. And some of you are like, oh, yes, I love doing. I love going here, doing this, doing that, because it makes me feel connected to Jesus, right? That's just the way he's wired me. He's wired me to love people, to do that. This is why you're saying, man, Austin's so intense sometimes with people that are like, ooh, back up, it's personal space. Because you're people that be, and I'm like, oh, come on. Let's go have coffee. Let's talk. Let's then do. Like, I'm so pushing into doing it, and it's where my gym. Because Jesus, I literally look at Jesus, and Jesus describes love as, hey, love your enemies. Don't just love people that love you. He says, you know what love is? To lay your life down for another. He says that people will know you are my disciple by the way you love one another. Love is a verb. Love does. If you are living in love, you are just letting it flow everywhere. You're just getting people wet. You apologize later. You just sprinkle everybody. Love does. If you're like me and you get that, if you're a doer, and that's the way you love and live into discipleship, do. Paul talks about discipleship is that your love would abound to the people closest to you and then emanate out from there. Love does. Love lays their life down for others. Love takes the people that do wrong to us and we do right to them. Not because they deserve it, because Jesus did it for us. But Jesus also has understood that it's a both and, that if you just do so much, that it becomes a doing out of just habit and out of ritual and not of an inflow. This is what Paul, why he puts things so together. It doesn't take him a whole nother page, another paragraph to get to the both and. It takes him a few words. He says that I pray that your love would abound and overflow to everybody around you in knowledge and insight. See, some of you are not like me, and you're not doers, but you are really good at being the clay and allowing God to be the potter as he molds you, as you spend time with God, and he just one-on-one just really refines you, just moves you and creates in you someone that really understands who he is, how much he loves you, and the good work that he's doing in you. You're really good at being with God. See, that's not my jam. This last week, Peter was talking about us being at our midwinter conference. And on Sunday, God did something to me, not in spite, but what I needed. I was picking up a friend because I was staying off-site from the conference. I was picking up a friend at a donut shop, and if you know me, that's where you find me, donuts or coffee, right? And so I pick her up. And she's going to sit in the passenger seat, but my bag's there. So I go to reach for my bag. I lift it up, twist, and bend, and my back just tweaks, pops, doing three things. And I'm like the cool guy. I'm like, hey, it's okay. I'm good. And as the day goes on, I'm like, we go to our worship service. I'm praising Jesus. And by the end, I'm just like, you know? And then my youth pastor friends, they go, you really are the old guy now. And I'm just like, oh, thanks, right? And then it goes on. I go and I try to self-care through massages, through some Biofreeze from heat and ice. And then we're going to watch the game, the Patriots game, which I'm fine. I was like, I'm just going to lay down now. I don't really care about it, but okay, we'll watch. We're watching with our friends. And I'm laying literally on the ground of this hotel room, and we're talking. And then the game ends. And I roll over to get up, and I roll over on all fours, and that's as far as I can go. I like literally am on all fours, and my friends don't know what to do. And they try to help me up, and it's just the pain is excruciating. It's easier to lie down. So I roll back over and lie down. And so for the next 24 hours, I am just on the hotel of my friend's hotel room. Old dude on the ground, just in the middle of the floor, you know, taking up all the space. And I say that because Jesus and I started to have a conversation. Because I'm such a doer, I'm literally going, Jesus, what the heck are you doing? Like, I think Jesus doesn't know what he's doing. Anybody else with me on that one? You're like, Jesus, what are you doing, bro? I'm like, hello, you see me? Like, you know who I am. You wired me. Why am I on the floor? Because I need these people that are here, my colleagues, to speak life into me, that I am really called, that I am really gifted, that this is who God has created me to be. And he says, no, you don't. You need me to do that. See, I'm such a doer that sometimes I need to be put on the floor so that I can become who God has created me to be. That we are so obsessed, if you're a doer, at allowing other people to speak into you, but you have no time for Jesus. And I need to learn from you that I need to be on the ground for 24 hours having a conversation with Jesus, because I was up most of the time. Because if your back is hurt, you don't sleep well. So me and Jesus did a lot of talking. And I was like, okay, Jesus, how pertinent that you want to talk me to talk about becoming and being with you, and this is how you want it to be done. Okay. So I spent time with Jesus. I not naturally, but learned how to be the clay that Jesus needed to form, that I needed to live into becoming who God created me to be with Jesus, to understand the love that emanates from him first into me. And I need to learn from those that are good at this. This is why it's a both and. This is why we need each other. Because some of you are really good at being, and I'm not, and I need to sit with you. And some of you who are good at being need to be with me. You need to go out and do. This is the beautiful thing about the gospel. But I also want to make it very clear before we move to the gospel. is that when you talk about being, when you talk about becoming, a lot of us in our Western Christianity read this as the good work done in you, and you think about just you and just me. Paul didn't think that way. Paul was writing to a community of people that Jesus, when he called the disciples, he called 12 of them to be with each other and with him, to be discipled with each other. That when the disciples were learning from Jesus, they all sat around and said, hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us what you mean by that parable. Not one-on-one. Even though Paul, who is going to be the head of the church, isn't one-on-one. He's with the disciples, doing a community, growing together, becoming together. This is why at Trinity, we are all about these life groups. We're all about doing life in community together because we believe that is what forms us and helps us become who God has created us to be. Not that we just create in our own mind who we think we are becoming by God, but we rub that shoulders with people who then say, yes, that is Jesus, or no, that ain't Jesus. This is why being with God and doing disciples of becoming is done together in community. This is why there's no lone Christians. Ain't nobody do it alone. Just saying it. This is why Jesus is saying discipleship happens in community. That's why when you see us forming together things that disciple you into becoming, it's done in community. It's on purpose. We're not just throwing things together because we think it's like the hippest thing. We do it because that's what God has pointed us to in his word. And see, this is where the gospel is incredibly, incredibly beautiful, because it is a both and, doing and becoming, not based on you. Because I know some of y'all thinking like, I'm terrible at doing. I'm also terrible becoming. And this is where you read that passage, but you need to back up to verse 6. And you need to live into the promise that Jesus says, hey, the work that I began in you, I'm going to see it through to completion. That there is nothing that I have started that I do not finish. There's nothing that I started that I don't work in the middle and then finish. And there's people here maybe that don't even know Jesus, and they say, hey, how actually can he do something in me that requires me to just participate and partake in his doing and becoming? This is the good news, because how many times have you started something and never finished it? If discipleship was up to you, we'd all be a hot mess. Because I start things and finish things and then don't finish things and then try it again and again and again. I mean, gosh, we'd be here for another like year if I'm talking about things that I wanted to start at the beginning of the year that I've already stopped. Right? Anybody else with me? Things that you wanted to start to become and you ain't even do now. It's what, the 27th, right? We can't even do 27 days. This is why discipleship is incredible. This is why it's good news, because it's not up to you. That God who began the good work in you will see it all the way through to completion. And that work that he is doing in you is good. Why? Because God is divinely good and he has put it in you. That he's allowed Jesus to plant in you the good work of discipleship. And he sent the Holy Spirit to water that discipleship, to continue it to grow until we meet Jesus. The goodness flows out of a good God, Father, and Holy Spirit, not out of your ability to do or become good enough to do that work. And that's the same for everybody here. Whether you're 8, 18, 88, or anywhere in between, God is doing good work in you right now. That in-between time from where he started it to where he's going to finish it, wherever you are at on the spectrum, new or very old, that right now, God is doing the good work so that it becomes more evident in your life minute by day, by week, by month, by year, by decade. That God is doing good work in you. Whether you believe it or not, whether you see it or not, whether you're doing it or not, God is doing the work in you. One of the best words that I ever got is, she says, whenever you're in ministry, whatever you're doing, make sure Jesus is at least 51% of it. Make sure he's 51% of it. Don't be doing what God has made to do. So maybe some of you need to hear that word, that are doers. Can you flip-flop? Can you stop doing 60% of the work? Can you maybe start doing 40? Can you, as a doer, live fully into the understanding that God is the instrument of movement, of life, of creation, that he is the beginning, the one that brings forth everything, but at the same time, he is the culmination of everything? That there's no place that you partake in the beginning and the end that can move beyond what God moves. So maybe you, if you're a doer, need to learn to become a little bit more. Maybe you need to look at the people around that are really good at being with God, and you say, hey, can I come alongside of you? Can I live into becoming who God has created me to be? And you know what that'll do for you, doers? Is what happens when you don't get the result that you're expecting, the people that are becoming and being will teach you that God is still good and that his timing is actually still perfect. And that you need to rely on not your results, but his movement. And maybe if you're people that are really good at becoming, maybe you need people like me. That you are so good at sitting and knowing in the knowledge and the wisdom and the insight that God gives you. But you need people to help you move to realize into the promise that Jesus says, you, church, you, individual, you, people together, living together, will do greater things than I did. That you can actually live into the promise that Jesus says, you will do better things. So get up, move, do. Get your sloppy love water all over people. This is such good news. And this is something that we can't miss. That we can't miss. If we miss it, God's still good. He's still doing it. This is why discipleship is so awesome. He doesn't call you to be the instrument of your own discipleship, but he calls you to be participators, partakers of the work that he's doing in you. Just like that picture is up, that sometimes you'll look at the mirror and you'll see physically what you've done and changed about yourself, but then you look deeper and you see all the things that God has been doing in you. But then also maybe you'll look in that picture and you see all the things that God is doing in you, but you miss all the things that he's doing through you. It's a both and. God, who promises to be with you always, to the very end of the age, he wants to do great things through you and in you. Let's pray. There's a line, God, that keeps coming in my head, and I pray that we really listen to it and sing it. It says that your promise still stands, that great is your faithfulness. You have never failed me yet. You have never, ever failed me yet. God, your promise is so good that if we live in anything right now, we live in that verse 6, that Paul, that myself, that I look out at this congregation and I say, I am so confident, God. I'm so confident in God that he who started the work in every single one of the people here, those that are watching online, those that are not here, and those that are sitting in the seats, that God has begun a good work. And he wants to both do through you and in you things that you have never dared dream or imagine. So God, can we live into the promise? Would 2019 be a place that we look at our discipleship of the ways that we naturally do or we naturally become, and we will both and live in both, not through our own power, but yours. So God, come, do this. Let us participate in you. Let us always let you be the mover, the instrument of our becoming and doing. You got 51, if not a lot more. Let us do with the rest as you have called us. We ask this in your name. Amen.